listening to the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, we focus on the American Eventing Championships. Lainey Asker joins us to tell us about her trip to the AECs last year and offers some advice on shipping horses long distance. But first, we hear from Rob Burke, who is the Senior Director of Programs at the USEA, who tells us about some new features to look forward to at this year's event.
So next week, Wednesday the 28th, will mark 120 days until the opening ceremonies of the American Eventing Championships. And we are very happy that our title sponsor, Neutrina, has come back on board, as has our presenting sponsor, VTO Saddlery. Some of the exciting changes, we've got our cross-country course was very popular last year. Captain Mark Phillips did a wonderful job kind of introducing our American riders to really a more European way out in a lot of ways. But the great thing about Texas is the footing is just spectacular, and it seems to handle just about anything you throw at it. And some of the new features on cross-country this year will include a brand new water jump. So the crew is going to be getting to work in the summer on that, and then we'll be able to roll that out for the championship. So we're excited about that. We also have something new, the Adult Team Championships, which is kind of a new take on the previous Adult Team Challenges. And those will offer the opportunity to adult amateurs, adult some lower level professionals to be able to come and compete as a team from across the country, from beginner novice through preliminary. So we're extremely excited about that. And then aside from that, we just have some wonderful things. We've been working really hard with the local community. That while the location of the horse park is Tyler, Texas, really the closest town is the city of Lyndale, and Lyndale has really stepped up with us to do a number of things to help benefit this upcoming AEC, and as such, we've identified a local host hotel in the Comfort Suites there in Lyndale. So really excited about all of that, and really one of the only other things that I'd say is that you might hear from Lainey, but we are trying to team up with a lot of good companies, national companies, that might make this trip to AECs a lot easier, but some more info is to come on that.
Well, that's a tease if ever you heard one, so we're looking forward to that, Rob. But I know that you've also got a nice little offer with regards to gas cards too, haven't you?
That's right, yeah. So for the first 100 entries we receive on X-Entry, we do have a number of gas cards we will be drawing and distributing to a lucky group of people. Last year, Kid Jones, a gas company, which is a Texas-based company, stepped up and really helped us out with those. And we are really happy to have them coming back on board this year.
Now, there's also some change to the qualifying standards for the advanced competitors. Rob, would you like to explain about that?
Sure. So in order to really ease the qualification process this year, what we've decided, we made a decision early on in the season, was that all advanced competitors that qualify through one of the Gold Cup competitions can come and compete, and they don't necessarily have to compete on the same horse that they qualified on. They can take any advanced level mount or any horse that is qualified to compete at the advanced level and come and compete them at championships, which really should free up some of the stables for some of these riders that might be aiming for WEGs or other competitions and might not want to take that one horse the direction of the AEC, but really have another horse or two in the barn that they'd love to bring. So we've already heard some really good feedback on that.
And they can find much more information, of course, about the new AECs on the website, Rob. Is there anything specific we should be looking for now if you're starting to prepare for those and qualify for the AECs this year?
Yeah, if you go to our useventing.com website and then you visit the AEC page, and that's useventing.com/AEC, You can find all the information for competitors about who's currently qualified. You can find all of the information about travel, et cetera. And also, we have a new page, a new link to the Adult Team Championship. So I'd really encourage people to go check those out. And then for the Gold Cup, you know, we are so happy that Attaquan has teamed back up with us for both the Gold Cup Series and the championships. And you can always go to the Gold Cup page, which you can access through the programs page at useventing.com. So, yeah, check it out.
And we have a winner, of course, this past weekend in Jonathan Hollins. He won the Gold Cup qualifier at Chattahoochee, didn't he?
He did. He did. And Jonathan was one of our AAC competitors last year. I remember seeing Zatopek B go around course, and I was really impressed back then. And I think Jonathan's got some really good horses, so we hope to see at least one, maybe more, in the field this year.
Lots to look forward to this year's AECs, and as you said, Rob, tons of information on the website at useventing.com. So thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thanks, Chris.
And now, for those of you planning to travel to the Texas Rose Horse Park this year for the AECs, here's some useful advice from Lainey Ashker. Hi, Lainey. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, as we said, the AECs are fast approaching. People are going to be preparing for that road trip. And I know that you had an interesting trip last year from Virginia to make that a fun trip for everybody, including the horses.
Mom and I are used to traveling across the country back and forth from moving out here, from moving Mom back, when Mom worked at the 96 Olympics. So we're very familiar with all the highways. And along the ways, we've made, you know, through experience, we've figured out what works and what doesn't, of course, trial and error. And basically what we did was we looked up all the horse hotels, you know, taking the route that we wanted to go. And we found one in Alabama, which was sort of a little bit further past the middle. So we left earlier on the one day, and then we had, and it was a shorter second day, which I thought would be better for Al. And the trip was fabulous. And I definitely think it's worth staying overnight, splitting your trip up, because he drank, he slept well, he got there and felt great. We also made a little side trip in Atlanta, since I only had a 2-horse at Chipotle, of course. So, hey, got to make it fun for the drivers and for the horses.
How long a trip would that have been in total then, Lainey?
I want to say it was about 13 and a half hours the first day and about 10 hours the second day. It's about a 23-hour drive. So it's something that could certainly be feasible within the day. But, you know, horses never drink as well as they should. And you know, when they're on the trailer and, you know, when they don't drink, things start stopping in their body. And, you know, I just feel, why not break it up? What's the point? Leave a day early and then get there ready to go.
Well, obviously very important to keep them dehydrated. So along the way, then you made that plan to have a couple of stops. Now, tell us how you found the horse hotels then, when you said you looked for them along the way. How did you go about finding them?
Well, my mom actually had a booklet, and there's a booklet you can order offline, and it has horse hotels off of every major highway, interstate, in every state. And so depending on the state you're in and the route that you're on, what's closest to any major highways, there's some that'll be a little bit off the beaten path, but nothing over 10 miles off of the interstate. And, you know, you anywhere from $25 to $35, you obviously need to bring a cog in. Some require a health certificate depending on the state that you're in. And you can, some of them offer pastures your horses can go in. If you in Kentucky, we've been to, you can go in a pasture, or stalls and full care. So, and some of them even run our little bed and breakfast as well for the drivers. So it's a great way to see the country. And, you know, if I plan on going to Montana this year and coming back to the AECs, I do plan on coming back to the AECs, you know, I plan on doing the same thing. And it makes the experience all that more enjoyable.
Well, clearly this is a very warm time of the year. You're traveling through the summer months when it is so important to keep the horses mm-hmm. hydrated and make them mm-hmm. as comfortable so that they, when they arrive, they can be performing at their peak. So give us some other tips then for that kind of length of journey, Lainey. What else would you prepare for, specifically for a long distance?
Well, it really depends on the horse. He's got frequent flyer miles, so he's used to traveling. Some horses, like my Andalusian horse, my dressage horse, he's not the best traveler. Another horse here that's not the best traveler. So, like, I learned the hard way last year, one of my horses went to Richland, and, it, you know, that was a good 14-15-hour drive. When we got there, even though we made a lot of stops, I like to stop at least 3 or 4 times for about 20 minutes to give the horses rest on their legs and have them bedded down. But he didn't drink well. So when we got there, we had to give him some fluid, you know, IV fluids. So, you know, if it's a long trip, it's going to be over 2 or 3 days. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have your vet come and IV some fluids, especially if it's hot. Also, horse quencher is very helpful in getting my horses to drink. And, you know, some horses don't need it, but it does really encourage the horses to drink as well. And, you know, giving them plenty amount of hay, keeping them busy in the trailer, and bedding them down, especially for very long trips. My rule of thumb is, you know, every time that I stop to get diesel, I make sure that we're not just in and out. I stop, kind of, you know, at least give it, sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 20 minutes, just to kind of give the horses a little bit of a rest, especially if it's warmer up. Also, getting fans installed. You know, it's not as expensive as it sounds, but fans installed in the trailers are very helpful as well, and lots of ventilation.
Obviously very important there, the ventilation and the fans. Do you have a camera running on them as well in the trainer?
I do. I do. And you know, that's not going to be, you know, and I should say, I had a trailer accident where a horse fell down in my trailer last year, and I had no idea. I had been driving probably for a good hour and had no idea because I didn't feel the horse fall. So after that, I swear I would never haul without, because I've been hauling my whole life. And when that happened, I was stunned. I was shocked. I felt so responsible. I felt horrible. And I didn't know. And it was late at night, so no one could see. You know, I actually had someone following behind me in my car, and they didn't see anything happen. So it was the weirdest thing. So, you know, they can be expensive, cameras. If it's within the budget, it is something I would never not haul without them. My mom has also found a little bit less expensive way. They're called trailer eyes, and they're portable, and you can put them, you can wire them. It's not a hard wire in your truck. It's just a portable, like, I think it shoots back and forth on wireless, but it's about $300, and you can see your horses, and you have to charge it, of course. Not something that's built in, but it's something that is affordable, and it is one thing that one T and one that I'd cross and one I that I would dot, and I will never go without it again. I just wouldn't. So.
And you mentioned that all important stopping to give those horses legs rest. And because sometimes mm-hmm. we underestimate that, Lainey, when we travel long distances, you're keen to get on the road and get the mm-hmm. journey over with. But it takes a strain mm-hmm. on the horse's legs. They're constantly having to balance and shift. And it puts a strain on all their limbs, not just the limbs, but, you know, the body as well. You can imagine if you and I were standing up on a long trip for a long distance, it would be exhausting. So give us some other sense of what the horses would wear on their legs, particularly to protect them.
Well, you know, some people go with, you know, I wear standard shipping boots. It makes it hard, especially in the hot months. And I know a lot of vanners, which I'm right there with them, a lot of vanners that are hauling horses across the country not want shipping boots on the horses. It gets them very sweaty. It's uncomfortable, you know, and if they've got enough room, their shipping boots are great. They're protective, but they're not the end all be all. Some people like to do the standing wraps, you know, only if it's a very experienced wrapper would I want to do the standing wraps, because it's a very fine way with all the balancing that you can give your horse easily a bandage bow. So, you know, that's something I always am wary of. So, you know, it isn't the worst thing in the world to ship your horses naked without any boots on. You know, I always do with my horses, but if it's very hot or if they're traveling without stopping like the vanners do across the country, then a lot of them, they don't want shipping boots on them. And I'll tell you, it's, you know, with that one accident that I had, the shipping boots really weren't much help. I think they're there more for us as their protectors. Than they are for the horses. And so I always do it just to play it safe. You know, it certainly can't hurt. I also am really big into like the fluffy halters, you know, the halters with the cotton on them, because horses like Al rub so easily. So it was in one trailer ride, they can easily have rubbed their hair off, you know, just from sweating. So, you know, just another quick precaution to take.
How about bell boots?
Bell boots are certainly, and I, you know, those are something that are very useful. Again, when you have the shipping boots on, then those act as the bell boots, obviously. But certainly bell boots are something in case you have a horse that's a bit of a scrambler. And, you know, I have actually have one horse that's really kind of just, he's a scrambler, and he, you know, he only goes on short trips, but he's a scrambler. He's kind of grumpy. Other horses he kicks. And I put actually a feeding muzzle on him. And that, I don't know why, he just becomes really kind of bummed out. But, you know, and he only goes for, you know, doesn't go any more than 2 hours. A trip, because he stays with local within Virginia, but it makes him haul so much better, because I think he's just kind of bummed out that he's got the feeding muzzle on, but he's not busy trying to kick or fling himself at the other horses. He's just kind of munching on the hay that's right next to him that his feeding muzzle will let him get, to kind of keep him centered and focused on himself.
Now, you mentioned obviously wrapping the making the head collars nice and comfortable so they don't rub them mm-hmm. sore. What about a pole guard? Do you use a pole guard for long distances?
I do not. I don't have one actually in my trailer. But are you talking about the stallion guards?
Well, the guard to protect their pole if they were to hit their head.
Oh yeah, no, I don't wear those. You know, all of mine are pretty good haulers. My trailer is also an extra tall, so it'd be quite, they'd have to really rear up, to hit their heads. But it's something, you know, everything extra that we put on them, you have to make sure, especially in traveling to somewhere like the AECs, when it's hot, with that moisture getting in there, that's going to cause rubs. The last thing you want is a rub right on their pole where the bridle goes. So you have to think, you know, sometimes it's a catch 22. So you have to really know your horse when you're going on those long trips. And, you know, when I was younger and when I was driving up to Massachusetts with my mom, we would literally stop at rest area. You know, we would pull off the interstate, go a couple miles and find like a park. And I would take my horse out and like hand walk him. Now that's the extreme, but I guarantee you that horse came, you know, I'd graze him. It took a long time to get to the shows, but when we got there, he was ready to roll. So, you know, if you have one horse, if you have 10 horses, you can make traveling work in your favor.
Well, just finally then, the tail bandage or a tail guard, and do you put anything on their backs at all, even when it's very hot?
For short trips, I do the tail bandages. You know, when I traveled to Kentucky this year, I put a tail bandage on Al's tail because he had, you know, just freshly pulled. And I think that was a bit too long of a trip because he was like kind of bummed out about it afterwards. It took him a good 30 minutes to kind of not be so sensitive on his tail. And it's again another thing, like you live and you learn. I think that for that case, you do one of the tail guards. And I know the Classic Equine sells them. A few places sell them. And those won't hold your, it's very easy to wrap the tail too tight for long trips. For a couple hour trips, totally fine. But for things longer where it can cut off the circulation, just want to make sure you don't wrap them too tight. And I think the tail guards kind of prevent you from doing that. And I, you know, if the horse likes to sit on the breast bar or the butt bar, I think definitely a tail guard is something that I would put on.
Okay. So finally, we've talked about, obviously the importance of keeping them hydrated. So lots of water as they will. Hay, of course, is ad lib, presumably for the trip on a long haul.
Yep. Certainly.
Now, what about feeding? If you were to take a stop, do you give them anything? I mean, maybe carrots, apples, or anything apart from a feed, Lainey, when you're on the trip?
Well, when I'm on the trip, I invested in a nice, obviously, we give them water. I invested in not all the plates. Some horses are very weird about drinking water from other places. The first thing I did was order for $200 a big water reservoir that goes on top of my trailer so that I can take my home water with me. So when we're on trips and we're at a gas station, I don't have to get the local water because sometimes the horses don't like it and it stays quite cool in that reservoir. So that's the first thing. I usually give grain earlier in the morning, but only a half portion. And if I have a horse that I know is not going to drink, I'm going to soup that grain up, just make it mostly water with grain in it, especially, you know, if they'll eat it, of course. always I, you know, put my horses on an ulcer guard or a gastro guard. I give them one for the trip. And then when I stop over at my horse hotels, I give, you know, especially my finicky eaters, you know, I kind of give them, if they'll eat their full portion, great. If not, then they'll get as much as they'll eat. And again, the next morning they'll get a half portion. But for the evening, I don't mind giving them their full portion, their full dinner. But again, for horses that are not going to drink as well, those are ones that I'm going to really bran mash, get a lot of, got a lot of liquid in there. So it keeps their guts moving as we travel.
Right. So it's all about preparation then. Know exactly where you're going, where you're going to stay. Now, you probably, being familiar with these routes, Lainey, know which gas stations to use as well, which are easier for you.
You do. And I actually have downloaded a few apps on my phone. One's called iExit. And so I know, or I'll have, you know, if I'm alone, then I can find it. Otherwise, and I always stop at rest stops, or a truck stop, excuse me. But, or I'll have Lauren, who's riding Sidekick, check out the iExit, and it will tell you where there's truck exits, where there's diesel, what is off every exit on of the interstate that you're on. It's a great app. I think it's $5.99 that everybody should have. And you just, it will tell you exactly where you are, and it'll say, okay, coming up on this exit, you've got a Starbucks, or you can, like, I have a ding on there, an alert for Chipotle, diesel, and Starbucks. Well, let me know when there's one off of any of the exits that I'm passing.
Who knew there would be an app for that, of course.
Exactly, priorities.
All right, so you mentioned that you obviously have got this year the AAC on your agenda as well. Who will you be taking, and who will, in which divisions will you be riding in, Lainey?
Well, thus far, I've qualified two horses. For sure, I'm going to, I'd like to take Al back to reclaim the title. Again, I'd like to, it'd be like to pull a Becky Holder and be able to win back to back. That would be super cool. And so that's my goal with Al in the fall. And then I've got my young horse, Calling All Comets, that qualified at the training level. I would like to get him, you know, he'll be moving up to prelim. So if he qualifies at the prelim level, that would be fun to take him. And, you know, any of my horses, I'm just, they're kind of getting going now. So I'm hoping to get qualified this summer and bring as many as I can, because I had a blast. And it was an awesome location, an awesome venue, and I'm looking forward to coming back to Texas again.
Terrific. Well, obviously, it's going to be a fun expedition for you as well. I want to wish you all the best with that and safe travels. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Lainey.
Thank you for having me.
You can find extensive information about the AECs on the website at useventing.com. This podcast is available for download on iTunes. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.